Hey everyone, my name is Evan Bieber and welcome to Pop Rocks Interviews. This podcast shares conversations with my favorite independent and up-and-coming artists. Pop Rocks is also a live radio show every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. Pop Rocks. High Wind is the pop rock passion project of New Jersey singer-songwriter Chris Russo and drummer Dan Smith. High Wind's aim as a pop rock act is to tell an honest, relatable story by means of catchy hooks, colorful guitar parts, and infectious rhythms. I talked with Chris about how he started High Wind, his latest singles, playing different shows, and what we can expect to hear from them next.
Hey, hey.
Hello, how are you? What's going on?
Good. Good to see you and nice to meet you finally.
Very nice to meet you as well. Thank you for having me. It means the absolute world to me. It's very nice to probably talk to you and like see you face to face
for, I know, right?
You know, to a certain extent, even though it's just video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean because I feel like I know you after just kind of like stalking you online for so long.
Well, that's a way to get to know someone, I guess. It wouldn't be the first time, so that works.
Exactly. That's how I feel too.
Exactly. All right. Well, for real, thank you for having me. It means the world.
Of course. Of course. I'm very happy to have you. I've been a fan for a while. And Abby and I have been setting up this interview for a while too, because I wanted to chat with you a few months ago, but I was like, pumped to hear your full-length album. So I wanted to hear the whole album before I chatted with you. So I'm glad I finally got to listen, soak it in, and it is so good. So congratulations.
Thank you.
It is so good. And it's really fun.
Thank you. Yeah, the whole album was a huge labor of love. And it really goes through like the emotional psyche of my songwriting, where it goes to like the, you know, the pop bangers to that, hey, I'm going to stop, slow down, get emotional and talk about the things I'm really feeling. So at the end of the day, like it shows every side of me, and I'm happy that you're able to pick out the fun parts of the album, because those are the parts that really mean a lot to me, I think, because it shows a new side of my songwriting.
Totally. And you've done a lot over the past few years. Your first EP was out in 2019, was it?
The very beginning of 2019. Yeah.
Wow. And you've kind of just been popping out some singles since then.
We've been trying our best. Is it from the EP all the way to something right in between? It feels like a new band, because we went from like this emo post-hardcore kind of solo project where I was real angsty at the time. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do as a musician, as an artist. So went from me like writing this post-hardcore, this emo kind of rock EP, to pumping out singles and really trying to find my place in the world as an artist, as a songwriter. And I really think that those singles just showcase the natural evolution of me as a human and me as an artist and me as a performer. So it's been a lot. It's been a journey, and a lot of things, good and bad, happen in between the first release to now, but I'm really thankful to be where I am now. I have a couple of, you know, my best friends playing music with me in this project, and I'm very thankful.
Yeah. There has been such an evolution of your sound. But what I think is cool about this full length is it's kind of like a culmination of all of the sounds together, which I think is really cool. We're going to talk a little bit more about it, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about kind of how you started this project.
Okay, so I love telling this story. This all started kind of by accident, if I'm being honest with you. I had just left the pop punk band I was in back in 2018, and I called CJ Rare, who's one of my best friends. He streams on Twitch now. Very fun person to watch. I called him one day because he ended up producing the Have You Been EP. I was like, hey, I have some songs, but I'm not in a band anymore. Can we demo these songs out and just see what happens? So after that first demo session for Afterlife, the first single that came out, we said, you know what? No, we have to do this. We're committing to the bit. Let's record an EP. Let's go from there. So we took one day a week for like 7 months straight to record this EP, perfect it, take and make it what we wanted to be. And then we just put it out in the world. I kept booking shows. I kept songwriting here and there, recording when I had some money. And then things were obviously put on a hold because of COVID, but we did Crashing Burning after I went through some personal garbage with an ex-bandmate, recorded Crashing Burning and just recorded, song wrote, and for almost all of those sessions, I had Dan Smith, who is now my bandmate, record most of those songs. There's a couple exceptions here and there, like Dan McCool from Pollyanna did Crashing Burning on drums.
Oh, yeah.
I recorded Reds and Blues and Never Sitting Pretty with Adam Sachoki, who plays in Gatherer, so he played drums on that. But really, this project went from me trying to figure out what I wanted to do as a musician, as an artist, and it became my experiment, I guess.
Yeah.
My experiment is the best way to explain it. I just wanted to see what I could do as a songwriter. And that's still kind of what the project is really about. Just how can I push myself as a musician? How can I push myself as a songwriter? What kind of influences can I draw in? What kind of inspirations can I pull from? And at the end of the day, this project is still just me embracing all of those different inspirations and all those different things I like about music, you know, whether it's a solo project or having a bandmate or two. I don't know. This project really just started as me wanting to push myself as a songwriter. And here I am today, still doing the thing.
I love it. I love it. And it's growing and growing, which is so crazy. It does seem like you have such a cool, like close-knit crew of, like you said, artists who you work with. And that kind of keeps it cool and pretty consistent, even from the past few years of just your visuals alone, everything. And something I noticed with your music videos is that, do you have the same actors, or I'm assuming friends, artists who are in the music videos?
For the most part, yeah. So it's like the Highwind family, I like to call it. Because Chris Kunichuk does 90% of our videos and 90% of our photos when it comes to like the in-studio promos and everything like that. If you look through the music videos, you'll see like my friend SJ, you'll see CJ and Shayna, who are some of my closest friends in the world. Before Dan was part of Highwind, he did drums for a video. Joe Reyes, who does our live guitar, he plays guitar for most of the videos, with the exception of Will You Please, which was my friend Guy, who plays in Idol Wave. But realistically, like, it's that same Highwind family of the same videographers and photographers. Holly Turner is someone who does photos for us consistently, and we love her to death. All my friends come help out with the music videos. Most of the time, or at least nowadays, it's mostly the same live musicians, like Joe Reyes and With Sails Ahead. My friend Michelle Gorman has been playing guitar and singing with us. Dan's brother Rick has been playing bass. Like, whether it be actors in music videos or photos, videos, touring musicians, whatever, it's the same close-knit people because I love working with them and I trust them.
Yeah. And I honestly think that's cool, because then I feel like I randomly know them too. Like, I'll see them, and then when they're in the next music video, it's like, oh, I know them. Like, I don't know them. Yeah. But
but you know who they are. You know that they're part of the Highwind family, the Highwind cinematic universe, if you know?
Yes, like, the new Marvel. And like,
exactly. And like I said, it's all because I love these people and I trust these people. And not only do I love working with them, but their company just makes me feel better. That makes me feel comfortable. And I don't think I'd be where I am if it wasn't for those people that I call my friends and my family.
Totally. Who would you say are some of your musical influences?
So my favorite band in the whole world is As It Is, right?
Yep.
Patty Walters is the reason I sing to this day. I have This Mind of Mine tattooed on my right arm.
Love it.
So Patty Walters and As It Is are a big inspiration to what I do. For this album cycle in particular, the band Camino really hit home for the kind of sound I wanted to dive into with this new record. Songs like Hush Hush and Daphne Blue really spoke to me. K-Flay's another huge one. I love their songwriting. Yep. I love their lyricism. I love the way they sing. I love the kind of sound that they emphasize, because it's pop that punches you in the gut, you know?
Yeah.
So K-Flay is another big one. Kaylee Spivey and their old band Small Talks really spoke to me a lot. Who else? There's so many. The 1975 self-titled was a huge influence on me back when it first came out, and still is. God, there's so many. There's so many. I'm going to leave it at that, because there's so many.
Influences. I know. It's the hardest question.
But with this album cycle in particular, those are the big ones. But As It is a huge mainstay. Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, I can totally hear that. Especially the band Camino. That makes so much sense with like the fun, but like it's not like all fun, but it does make you like want to dance.
Yeah. So I saw the band Camino open for the Dangerous Summer back in 2016, I think.
Wow.
When the Dangerous Summer played in the Foundry, when no one really knew who they were. Yeah. And lo and behold, a few years later, they blow up, they're selling out, the venues, the Try Hard EP came out and it made waves. They just put out the self-titled last year and that made bigger waves. Like the band Camino are killing it. So watching them grow to be the band that they are now is really cool.
Yeah, they are killing it. And they're a great band. And that's a great album that came out. Was that last year?
Yeah, last year. One of the best albums of last year. Oh my God. It's so good.
for sure. Such a good album. What would you say is, I know this is a tough question, but what would you say is like your songwriting process?
So my songwriting process is kind of interesting. It all starts with getting inspired by a little idea. Something, I'll use this as an example. The song Find True we put out. It's the first single that we put out off of the album. I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist one day, which is, I'm a big video game guy. I'm a big trading card game guy. I'm a nerd. I love it. I have no shame. So I was playing that game and the menu theme didn't have a percussion track. So I started tapping away at it like on the arms of the chair I was sitting in. And it's like, ooh, that could be cool. And then, you know, I heard the chorus for Fine Few start to sing in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, that could be really cool. And then 20, 30 minutes later, I have a full song written out, ready to go. So realistically, my songwriting process is little idea, the big spark of inspiration. Hey, this could be a chorus, or hey, this could be a verse. And then I sit down for a little while and I build around that part. Sugar is another really great example where something inspired me and I had that sugar kind of play in my head. I'm like, ooh, that's a really good chorus hook. And then I sat down, I played with that part and started writing around that part and built around that song. Once I have the general demo, whether it be written in my songwriting book or I demoed out in Reaper where I have part, I'll send it to Dan and I'll be like, hey, here's this demo. Help me perfect it. Put some better drums on it. Cause I'm not a drummer. I'm not. I can hold a beat on drums. I can fake it if I really try, but I'm not a drummer by trade. So I'll send it to Dan and I'll be like, hey, here's the song. Help me come with some better drum parts. What do you think? How can we detail it? And that's pretty much the songwriting process in a nutshell. The spark of inspiration, I build the song, send it to Dan, and we craft it into whatever final product comes out of it.
That's so cool. That's a great, great way to work, especially now. It sounds like you and Dan kind of worked together before anyways, but does it feel better having someone else to kind of bounce ideas off of and work with?
So yes. Okay. I had to learn how to do that again, because after my old band,
you were in a band. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in a band before High Wind. And after that, I mean, I'm really touchy about my songs in general, but I became really, 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 really touchy about who listened to my songs before they were released, who had their hands in them. So it really took me a long time to learn to work with someone again and to learn to really get a grip on co-writing with someone for a band. So it felt really good to go through that learning process with Dan. Because like you said, I actually did work with him prior to High Wind. We were both asked to fill in for a metalcore band from the area. Because when High Wind was still kind of in like the formative era, if you will, I was just doing fill-in gigs. I was playing guitar for Idle Wave. I was filling in for a couple other bands here and there. So we were both asked to fill in for a metalcore band for a gig they had. We kind of just kept in contact after that. I mean, we were in the same circle of like bands that play in the area, musicians that play in the area, musicians that went to the same gigs in like Long Branch and Howell and all the towns that had music venues in the area.
Yep.
So we had worked together prior to High Wind, and then I asked him, hey, are you available? You want to play some drums on my song? Because I know you're really not doing anything right now.
I
learned to work with someone again, and it felt really good and relieving to know that I could work with someone again and trust them with my songwriting. Because if I trust you with my songwriting, that means I really respect you and trust you as a person, because I don't really trust anyone with my songs before they're out. You know, there's very few select people that know what I have brewing in my back pocket.
I mean, that makes so much sense. I would feel the exact same. It'd be really hard for me to have someone else give any feedback. It would even positive, but be like, I don't, it's like,
yeah, because like these songs are like, you know, a very personal thing to you. Like they're your songs. It's your thoughts, your feelings, your pieces of music, your compositions. Like you don't want those getting into the wrong hands. You know, you don't want them, you know, getting to the ears of the listener before it's meant to, you know, like you cherish this product. You cherish these things that you've been working, you know, so hard on for so long. And even when, you know, I release them, it's so weird. It's like, oh my God, these personal things I wrote are out. This feels weird for the world to hear. Like when Something Right in Between came out, like I just kind of sat there. I'm like, I really did this. I really poured a year and a half's worth of my time into these songs for people to listen to. Did I really do this? So if I'm feeling that way after it's released, like, you can only imagine what I'm feeling beforehand, you know?
Yes. Yes, totally. I would love to talk about some of your singles that you put out. Let's talk about Sugar. You brought it up and it's such a fun song. And the music video also is super fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about the song?
So Sugar is kind of, all right. So Sugar is kind of a sad song in disguise. Sugar is comparing, you know, the abuse of going through a bad relationship, you know, an abusive relationship, manipulative relationship, and putting literally a candy coated wrapping on it. It compares the person that's manipulating you to wanting sugar, and you're the sugar that they crave. So it's, you know, me talking about how I felt in past relationships and putting like a Katy Perry, Taylor Swift kind of feel to it, you know, because I'm a sucker for pop music. Ellie Goulding is the love of my life. So it was really my first time writing a pop song with synths and keys and a pop drum beat and really trying to change my songwriting to this more fun, upbeat, synth-driven, vocal, drum-driven kind of dance song. So it's still my honest thoughts and feelings in a song, but with a candy wrapper on it, more or less. That's the best way I can explain it. And I'm really proud of Sugar because it's a catchy song. I can openly admit that's a catchy song. Because I get the own hook, I get my own hook stuck in my head a lot of the time, which I'm very proud of that. I really stepped out of my comfort zone and wrote something different, and I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. Like you said, it kind of like I personally love those songs that are like sad songs in disguise. It gives me Sugar specifically gives me I don't know if you're a Paramore fan, but I love Paramore.
Absolutely, I am. Yeah, I like, love Paramore. The me Burning too. Passion.
Like After Laughter, that whole album is pretty much, to me, that's exactly what it is. It's like sad songs that are just like fun.
That make
dance.
You want to dance. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not crying in the club.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
Like, no, not at all. I'm dancing.
Yes, that's exactly it. So that's what that song does for me too. Also, like, I'm glad that you brought that up about like you intentionally, because that was one of my thoughts, was I was wondering with like your kind of sound progression through the years, with it's overall a positive, it to me, like a fun, like you said, like dance to album. I was just wondering if that was intentional or if that just happened to be like when you were writing it, you were in just like a really good positive place, and you, that's just kind of the energy you brought to it.
I think every song, and this kind of goes for the singles too, every time I step into songwriting mode, I kind of just accept what I'm feeling in that moment. So piecing an album together is really hard for me because I think of the song specifically and not the bigger picture of an album. So all of these songs definitely had the single songwriting treatment, and piecing it into a full-length album is really hard for me. So Harmony is a really good example of, I was not in the greatest place when I wrote that song. Like, I was feeling really lonely, wasn't sure what, you know, life would have in store for me as far as like a relationship went, but I was really craving something, you know. With Sugar, I was in a great mood and just kind of reflecting on life. I said, oh, hey, let's get some dance beats going here. Let's try something different. Fine for You, I was just kind of existing. I was in a very, I guess, contemplative state of mind, or, you know, I just wanted to be appreciated for my music, be appreciated for who I was. And that's kind of what came out lyrically and musically. Hung Up was another one where I was listening to a lot of pop rock, like 5 Seconds of Summer, All American Rejects. This is some pretty good inspirations at the time. And I said, hey, let's write a pop rock song and go for it and see what happens. So while I can't say I was in one specific headspace or mindset for the album, I can tell you what I was feeling for each specific song. Because like I said, when it comes to my songwriting process, I think of the song individually as opposed to the bigger picture for the album and then piece it together from there. And I kind of owe Dan a lot too for helping piece it together, because he's always the one who's thinking of setlist ideas, track listing ideas. So he's the one who really helped me piece the bigger picture together.
Yeah, it's like funny that you say that, because your album does work in like a really perfect way of like the songs are, it's like there are standalone like singles, but it really do, it does like tell like one story to me. And it does have like one, like it has like a feel with the like slows down for some sad ones, which is like the best. Cause when, to me, like I love sad music is like my go-to. So those are my favorites on the album. But like,
thank you.
Yeah, it's so good. And like, to me, it has that kind of perfect, like, okay, then we're back up. And then it ends kind of in like, you're still thinking about it. So it overall, it sounds like such a great full album.
Thank you. And I think the cool thing about it too, is that it did with the way the track listing worked out, it really does kind of tell a story of emotion. Sugar is leaving the bad relationship. Hung Up is wanting that attraction back in my life. Fine For You is wanting to be good enough for someone. Search Without Sights, the companion track of Will I Be Good Enough for Someone? Will You Please Stay is, hey, I'm here, you're here, we're here, no matter who wants us or, you know, how we exist in other people's lives. Like, we are here, you're here, please be here with me. All's End is, well, I am here, what is going on around me? You know, Jaded is, well, life is hard, but it will get better. And Harmony is wanting to go through that process of life with someone. And then we're back at the top of, hey, it's the album.
Yep. I love it. So about your album, something I love is your album artwork. And I love like all the colors and the fun colors. And I love that. Were you guys like painting? Tell me about the cover.
Okay. So I have to be completely honest. It was the most spur of the moment decision I made for the album. I had the idea in my head of these cotton candy kind of colors to signify the change in sound, because the single that came out before the album was Reds and Blues.
Yeah.
And I think that in my head, using softer versions of those colors, the pink and the light blue, signified a really significant change in the sound of High Wind. With that being said, the idea of covering ourselves in the paint and covering the background in the paint was the spur of the moment idea that we had a lot of fun with. Basically, we met up with Chris. We set up like a paper background and we threw paint at each other. And that's really it. I ruined Dan's shoes. I almost ruined a brand new pair of Converse I bought, but it's fine. I didn't. We're good. They just needed new shoelaces. They were fine. And we just had a lot of fun with it. That's really all there is to it. I think we hung out for an hour and a half, just, you know, talking, throwing paint at each other, doing photos before a storm came that day. And it was sick. It was awesome. Nice. We had a blast. And I'm really thankful because people like the look. People really enjoyed the spur of the moment decision I made, and it seems to stick out. So,
yep,
you know, if it works, it works.
Totally, definitely. Also, you guys just finished up like a string of shows for your EP release shows. So, congratulations! They looked fun.
Thank you.
How were the shows?
So everything went really well. Everything was a lot of fun. The album release show was insane. New Jersey, our home, always treats us so well, and we're so thankful. We played at the Saint, and we played with some of our best friends. We played with Idle Wave, we played with Marigold, and it was amazing. We had an absolute blast. I've known Guy from Idle Wave for so long now. Chris, Matt, Joe, who all play in Marigold, have been friends of mine for years. And I've started to get to know Ben, too, which was great. So just, you know, having my best friends on stage before I did meant a lot. I was really scared to play because they're all phenomenally talented musicians, so having to follow up Marigold and Idle Wave was kind of terrifying for me, but we did it and we had a blast. I cried a lot towards the end because I was just so full of happy emotion. So the album release show was really cool. Delaware and Maryland treated us really well. The Maryland show was supposed to be in Virginia, but the venue closed down I think like a week and change before our show. So Nick, who plays in a band called Mercy, helped me put a show together last minute, and we had a lot of fun, so that was really cool. And then we just finished up New York and Rhode Island. Michelle, who's been playing guitar for us, Pearl River, New York, is kind of like, it was like her hometown show more or less. And it was awesome. So we got to play for all of her friends and her family, and that was sick. And Rhode Island is like our second home. Our first show post the world catching on fire was the Hammer Collective's Halloween Festival in 2021. So we drove to Rhode Island for our first show, and we were welcomed with, you know, such open arms that we're like, we have to come back for the album release shows. We have to. Nice. So it was awesome. It was sick. So all in all, the shows went really well. We made a lot of new friends. People were really receptive of the new music, and it was a blast. I love gigging, and I can't wait to do it again.
Nice. Yeah, that'll be fun. do you have a dream tour or a dream like venue or just like a place that you want to go, even just a city?
I have a few actually. I mean, I've done some of them already. Like I went to Boston for the first time a while back, which is really cool. Back in March, we played in House of Independence with a band called Bill Murray, which was Johnny Frank. He used to be in Attack Attack. And I've seen all my favorite bands play, or a good chunk of my favorite bands, I should say, play House of Independence. So that really meant a lot to me. I want to go down to Florida. I want to go to California. There's a lot of places I want to play. I've been talking with Faith from Pennyboard about doing shows with them. Because we've been friends for a while now, thanks to the internet. So we're talking about putting some shows together, going to Texas and back. So I'm excited to make something like that happen. Cool. Basically, any place that'll house us and let us play is what we're trying to do. So, yeah. I mean, the big dream is to play with As It Is one day. That's the big dream. But I'll get there when I get there, because I'm making that happen.
Yes, I love it. Hey, the more you speak into the universe, I mean, everyone's hearing. You hear that?
Absolutely. I'm a big speak it into the universe person. Like, if you have a dream, you can make it happen. You can achieve it. You can overcome whatever, you know, blocks and steps or whatever in your way, and you can make whatever your dream is happen. You just got to get out there and do it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in you have the strength to do whatever you set your mind and your heart to.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I am also one to speak things into the universe and hope and try.
It's like you are the creator of your own destiny and your own future at the end of the day. So get out there, do the thing, and you know, live your best life while you do it.
Totally. I thought before I let you go, we could play a fun game if that's cool with you.
Absolutely. Great. I'm a gamer. Lay it on.
Yeah, yep, yeah, there you are. This one is called a random question generator. And what it is there's a website literally called randomquestiongenerator.com. I'm going to spin the wheel of random questions, and it just pops up with a random one that has nothing to do with.
All right, lay it on me. Let's go. All right, ready. I'm an open book. Let's do this.
All right, let's do it. Let me get the wheel. All right, the first question is, if you had to get a tattoo today, what would you get?
So if I had to get a tattoo right here, right now, there's one of two things I would get. I would either get the album cover for So Far From Real by Cauterize tattooed on my right shoulder, because that's the next big tattoo I really want. Or I'm a big Yu-Gi-Oh guy. I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh since I was little. I still have three decks literally within eyesight right now. I would get one of the level stars in Yu-Gi-Oh card tattooed right above my left ankle.
Love it. Easy. You already knew.
I have all of my tattoos planned out. I want to get 1, 2, 3, 4, like another 5 or 6 more. So
love it. I want my entire leg covered. Mm-hmm. Like I have a lot now, but I don't know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. So I have
4 right now, and I know that I want the rest of my arms to be covered. I want a couple little things on my ankles.
Yep.
I have an idea for my chest area, but I don't know how I want to play that out yet. So I'll figure that out when I get there. Everything else is planned and ready to go. I just need the money.
Love it. Yeah, I know, right? All right. Next question. All right. The next question is, what fictional character would you most like to be friends with?
Oh, God, this is going to be so niche, but I'm going to throw it out there. There is this anime I used to watch called Mare Heaven, where this kid was going to high school and he got sucked into the fantasy world. I don't remember the name of the world because it's been so long since I watched the show, but he gets sucked into this fantasy world. And you collect these little jewels, and those jewels turn into weapons. The main character's name is Ginta Toramizu, and I would love to meet him and hang out with him, because he's very much me in anime personified, you know? So I would love to meet him and hang out with him in that fantasy world that, you know, Mare takes place in. So that's the big one.
That's cool.
Again, mad niche, but I'm a big anime.
I love niche. So. Yeah. All right. One more question. All right. If you were to write a book, what would it be about?
I don't know. It'd just be a biography of my life. So I think my life is kind of strange and weird, because like I was homeschooled growing up. I have a few brothers and 2 sisters. Kind of, you know, I think just be a biography about, you know, my life, you know, discovering music, all the things that interest me. I'm not much of when it comes to creative, music is definitely my strong point. And, you know, songwriting is definitely my strong point. So I don't think I could ever write like a fiction or fantasy book. Mm-hmm. So I think I just write, you know, the biography of my strange life growing up and calling it a day, you know, because while everyone's existence is unique and I think everyone's existence deserves to be highlighted in some way, shape or form, I feel like my life is just strange growing up in a not typical way. So I don't know. I'd let people dive into the mind and the life of me and see what they get out of it.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Chris, coming up at the end of the hour, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope to meet you in person one day soon.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show. It really does mean the world to me. This was a lot of fun. Talking to you was great.
Of course. I love talking to you. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a good rest of your night.
You as well. Thank you. Thank you. Have a blast. Bye.
Hey, if you like what you heard today and you want to hear even more interviews, follow our podcast at Pop Rocks Interviews. And if you're bored and you have a minute, give us a rating on Spotify or iTunes. Also, feel free to follow us on social media at Pop Rocks BK. Pop Rocks.